He'd enjoy the machinations of the Rugby League world. Trent Copeland, good morning, buddy.
Good morning, yes, I certainly do.
Never a dull moment, mate.
There certainly isn't. If you hear a PA announcement, it's because I'm at the airport.
You're on your way to Perth, mate. Don't go to the Wacker. Yeah. It's at the new stadium, Optus.
I won't. Thankfully, I played there a couple of weeks ago and I've experienced it firsthand. And it's an amazing stadium for footy and cricket. So, yeah, I can't wait to see what the week has.
What type of pitch will it be, Trent?
Old school, fast, bouncy, and I'm excited about it. And so should all the viewers and the cricket fans out there, because the Indian bowling, we all talk about how good our Australian bowling attack is. In my opinion, the best in the world. But this Indian bowling attack are making waves, and gee, they bowl well in Adelaide. So we've got our work cut out for us. But that game we played a couple of weeks ago, the Shield game, was 2 wickets over. But pre-game, the day before when we were training, there was some surface cracks like you see in the Wacker. They expanded as the game went on, and that helped the bowling team take 10 wickets. And things like that, you know, guys were getting bounced out, caught on the fence, hit on the gloves. You know, it's the old school, hopefully, the old school Wacker that we know and love.
So this wicket should suit, obviously, the fast bowlers, but in particular Mitch Stark, because he came under some criticism for his performance in that first test. Is this the type of wicket that he needs?
Well, yes and no. Look, I want to say that I think his new ball spell in the first innings was the best I've seen him bowl in Test cricket for 18 months.
Oh,
and
wow.
So, you know, I think he was swinging the ball back into the right-hander consistently, bowling 150 k's an hour. We had them 4 for 40. And I think people just get a little caught up in, okay, yeah, he bowled a couple of average balls that he would have been more disappointed than anyone else about. But if you look at the game on the whole, I think his rhythm was actually really good in the first inning. And, geez, I tell you what, if you need someone to clean up the tail, bowling 150 k's an hour, he's your man. So, look, I think it will be. And the Indian batsmen are just so unaccustomed to that extra bounce that they get over there that it should be a real advantage. So I'm hoping that this criticism dissipates pretty quickly and the Aussie bowling attack get into their work.
All right. So you've got no concerns at all for Mitch Stark. He was the only bloke to bowl yesterday at practice, Trent. Does that mean he's trying to find some rhythm while the others, Pat Cummins and obviously also Josh Hazlewood, didn't bowl?
Yeah, look, it was a short turnaround. I mean, I came home for 2 days from the test match, but the Aussie boys went straight to Perth and have had 2 training days at the Wacker. Look, I think it's a bit of an indication that he's trying to find a little bit of rhythm and, you know, get that wrist right, which we all do in between games. But the other guys really trying to manage their workload. And while Starkey did have a bowl, I'm sure he'll take it easy today just to get right for that start of the test on Friday.
What about Ishant Sharma with all the no balls that he was reportedly bowling in that first innings in particular that wasn't being pulled up? Is that something that's alarming in terms of umpires need to crack down? Obviously, they do need to crack down on it, but why haven't they been doing that? And why does he overstep it so many times?
Well, you know, potentially the biggest issue here, and I'm speaking as a biased bowler, but how are you supposed to know if you're bowling no balls? Then you take a wicket, and then they check it because it's a wicket and it's a no ball.
Fair
if you
point.
Think you've been bowling properly for 6 overs, but you've been over 90% of the time, then in all likelihood, when you do take a wicket, you're going to be. So that, I think, is the biggest issue here. And I think the ICC need to start looking at, you know, if it is difficult for the umpires to do, let's send it up top. Like the third umpire and the fourth umpire are sitting there in the box with decisions to make. We have fixed cameras that sit side onto the wicket. And we're past the days where the actual on-field call affects what the batter does. You know, the bowler bowls too fast for that. So I think let's just give a little button upstairs, gives a buzz in the umpire's ear, they can put their arm out and the run goes on. That to me is something that I think might come in soon. But yeah, the bowler's issue is what I find the biggest one.
Yeah, you'd rather give one run away to the scorebook instead of then taking a wicket and on replay finding out you've overstepped so you could adjust.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, this is a big element of training even. You know, there's times where in the past, bowlers have been allowed to just, you know, bowl 2 metres over the front line, but then they're accountable in games. I think it's becoming much more of a focus at training to get your foot behind the line and start to police it so that it's just never an issue. I mean, T20s, free hits are the worst scenario possible. Yeah. It's a batter's game, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah, these things are all part of it.
Your sole selector, Trent, do you stick with Aaron Finch at the top of the order, or do you move him down?
Look, I think you definitely stick with him, give him the opportunity that you initially thought he was best for going into that first test, and I think you've got to back him in. And, you know, Finchie's a class player over a long period of time, and, you know, he certainly thinks that, you know, he's more than capable of batting at the top of the order. And Marcus Harris and he have a great rapport, having opened the batting in, you know, some T20 cricket and stuff for the Vics. So, yeah, I think you just got to back him in, and I'm hoping that the extra bounce in Perth and maybe Ishant Sharma not landing it on a 20-cent piece in his first three balls might get him to a decent score.
Trent, not too sure whether you've caught up with the news, but there's a bit of speculation on the back page of the Sydney Morning Herald this morning. Perth Stadium boss wants New Year test to go west. Not quite clearly as Sydney siders. We believe heavily in the New Year's test should be staying at the SCG, but you just mentioned how exciting this new stadium is over there in the west. If their government got behind it, could you ever see that New Year's test heading west?
Look, I love travelling to Perth and I love people from Perth and I love the weather over there, but what I don't love is that chat.
Yeah.
There's no way. I mean, the Perth test has always been exciting because of how fast and bouncy it has, but we've never had the New Year's test there or the Boxing Day test in the past. So good on them for making a hell of a venue and one that's going to encourage exciting test cricket to watch. But, yeah, let's leave those two with Melbourne and Sydney, eh?
Yep. All right, good on you, mate. Enjoy the West.
Thanks very much, guys.